SEC Media Day is our final day from the Winfrey Hotel at the River Chase Galleria in Hoover. Michael Butler, Gary Buchanan, Miles Hathcott, Clay Benson, joined by Rod Bramlett, the play-by-play voice of the Auburn Tigers. And he does it all, too, not just football, but I know he's pumped up as the season is oncoming. It's right here now. As soon as we get to media days, you know it's right around the corner.
This is everybody's last hurrah right now. Get your vacation time in the next week after this thing is over, because then it is hectic from there on out. Yeah, it's fun. I always look forward to media days. Normally I only come up here for, you know, a day just for the Auburn Club and then Coach Tuberville, but the Auburn Club thing was Wednesday night, so I made it a mini vacation, brought the wife up here, and just getting excited about football season.
Well, I just handed you the picks by the SEC media, and you see Auburn picked to play for the SEC championship versus Florida.
You know, I'm surprised, and then again, I'm not surprised. Yeah, you know, with LSU in the West, you know, really having a what appears to be a big void at quarterback, you never know. Even with that, I thought LSU had enough talent to get enough votes to. You know, get the nod at number one, but you know, that's, you know, so much for flying under the radar, I guess, for Auburn now. I mean, they've officially been put out there at the top of the West, and you know, I think Auburn has some cautious optimism right now.
Heard that one before, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they really do. I mean, you never know. Auburn's looking for a quarterback. I mean, let's face it.
Yeah.
They're trying to find a number one, and I'm not sure they'll find a number one. I think you may see both quarterbacks, Burns and Todd, play. I see significant time for a majority of the season. And, you know, a new offense, new coordinators. You know, there's certainly some question marks there for Auburn. But, you know, I know Tommy Tuberville feels like he has talent, he has speed, he has some experience at key positions. That, you know, and the schedule. The schedule, you get most of your tough games at home. And, you know, you look at all that, and, you know, I can see where Auburn would be picked to finish first, but I tell you what, LSU's still going to be awful good.
You give credence to that Auburn's picked high, they're going to flop theory. I mean, you've been at Auburn for a long time, and sometimes they, you know, when they are picked high, expectations don't live up.
Well, you know, if you go back in the 80s, that wasn't the case. I mean, Auburn was there for a while, was picked to finish high in the SEC year in and year out, and they did. And you know, that's just good talk. I think Auburn does play the role of underdog a little bit better. I really do. Historically, they have. I mean, you look at 2004, and sure, Nobody really was talking about them. And you know, you see some similarities with this team as the 2004 team. Not that Auburn's going undefeated, but in terms of, you know, you've kind of got a new infusion of excitement on the offensive side of the football. You've got some guys at running back in Ben Tate, Brad Lester, Tristan Davis, Mario Fannin, you know, that kind of reminds you of the Ronnie and Carnell combination. Takes four of those guys to make up two of those guys, though, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you see some similarities, and even with Auburn being picked to finish first in the West, I think for the most part, nationally, Auburn will remain under the radar a little bit.
Rod, is your time as the voice of the Auburn Tigers, if you will, you know, just – You know, you've got a chance to witness some great games over your time, and even some maybe not so favorite. Right. I want to know to the audience, if you tell some of the guys some of your more favorite calls over your time, and even on top of that, on the other side of the token, not so favorite calls maybe.
Well, it's fun to look back. You know, I've been part of the broadcast for a long time, whether it be play by play or pregame and postgame or, you know, just behind the scenes stuff, and I've been here for every one of Tommy Tuberville's games in his 10-year career, and there have been some good ones. Since I've been the play-by-play guy, you know, I tell you what, the most exciting game, that I think in Tommy Tuberville's career was the LSU game in 2004, the 10-9 win, and I think last year's Florida game was right behind it. I mean, that was a great, great football game. You know, tough games to call. I tell you what. You know, last year, South Florida was a tough one. You were one play away, really, from that not even being a case of even thinking about an upset. You know, I wasn't doing the play-by-play, but in Tommy Tuberville's first year, his two games against Ole Miss and Mississippi State were tremendous heartbreakers, two games that Auburn probably should have won. And if they'd have done that, they'd have been in a bowl game in Tommy's first year. But you know, the calls out there, I think, you know, the end of the Florida game was a great moment. And I think the beginning of the 2003 Alabama game with Carnell reeling off 80 yards and a touchdown. You know, it's funny in the booth. We're all sitting there, and in this case with me, most of the time when it's an exciting play, I don't even remember what I say. I really don't. I have to go back and listen to it later. I don't even remember what I say. But I remember as Carnell broke the initial line of scrimmage that everybody in the booth, it was like we all started levitating higher and higher and higher as he got closer and closer to the goal line. I mean, that was just an electric play to start a football game. But, you know, we've been fortunate, and there haven't been a lot of bad games. You know, last year's LSU game was a heartbreaker, particularly when you go back and see the still shot of Jerrod Powers and how close he came to knocking that ball away against LSU late in the ball game. And a case where LSU won the game despite themselves. And, you know, we've been fortunate, though. There have been a lot more good calls than bad ones.
When you do a broadcast and your partner, Stan White, in the booth, and it's a full network, of course, Quentin Riggins on the field, but there are a lot of people behind the scenes.
Sure.
It comes across, people probably don't realize what all goes into doing a broadcast, but you guys make it sound so good. Talk about what it's like on a game day when you get up from the time of, and it's a game week for you in preparation.
Well,
sure.
Yeah, for me personally, you know, you start getting ready really on Monday before. But for the guys behind the scene on game day, you know, I'll get there 4 hours before kickoff maybe. But there are people there the day before getting the equipment ready. I mean, Michael, you know Larry Wilkins.
Yeah.
I mean, Larry engineers our broadcast. He's
for
there on
years.
Friday night.
Yeah.
And Larry's been doing it for about 120 years now.
That's true.
And, he is, you know, and he's got it down to a routine, but he's still there, you know, 24 hours before the game. And, you know, game day, we got, I bet you there are 20 people that people don't even know about.
Yeah.
That really play an important role of getting that broadcast on the air. It's amazing. And, you know, we're fortunate to have been together for a long, long time, the on-air people. So, you know, it's like a family. You know, in fact, this year, you know, normally we charter and fly to games, but this year's road schedule, with the exception of West Virginia, we can drive. And we have chartered what we're calling the party bus. And it's just a very nice bus that we are just all looking forward to, just, you know, not having to worry about getting on a plane and sitting around, and you can watch TV. And we're just one big family. And it is just a blast. And, you know, we're not trying to be ESPN, and we're not trying to be the guys at CBS. We're the Auburn's broadcasters. So if you tune into our broadcast hoping to hear, you know, a totally biased angle, then you may want to go somewhere else.
Now, you talk about the party bus. Yeah. Where's your favorite place to go on the road and broadcast a game?
People are shocked when I say this. Fayetteville, Arkansas.
I thought you'd say Bryant-Denny because it's so he didn't win up there.
He's enjoyed
it's
that.
A little boring up there. I don't know. Same thing over
there. Yeah.
But I think Fayetteville is the neatest town, and people are just shocked when I say that, because it is still, despite the fact they have an airport there now close to Fayetteville.
I've been on that airport before. I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
it's great places to eat, great facilities. They do as good a job as anybody, if not better, at their game operations, the atmosphere at football and basketball and baseball. I think Fayetteville's probably number one. Don't ask me what my least favorite place is. Because I really don't know. I mean, I really enjoy it.
You're waiting for him to book that trip to Hawaii, aren't you? You're waiting for him to book that game.
I know the head football coach, and that will never, ever happen. He hates to travel. I know that.
Well, you know, we've talked about Auburn being picked first in the SEC West, at least by the media here. They're also, in some of these preseason publications, picked in the top 10 very highly.
Yeah.
What do you think Auburn's chances are if – well, for one, if they get to the SEC championship game, you know what can happen there. We've seen it the last 2 years. Can Auburn possibly win the title this year?
If anybody in this league who wins the SEC championship game, in my opinion, should be in the discussion at least to play in the national championship game. We've seen that. Finally, we've seen the SEC get the respect that they deserve with LSU and Florida. You know, I think finally – the talking heads are getting it nationally that the SEC is the toughest league to get through and win the championship. So, yeah, I think so. I mean, whoever wins that SEC championship game, unless it's just a crazy deal where, for whatever reason, they've lost three games over the course of the season, I mean, I personally think they ought to be in the championship game, whether it's Auburn, LSU, Florida, Georgia, whoever it is.